You said YES to buying an HDB flat together. Now, there's another three letters to take note of.
ILY?
I know, BTO.
No, HFE. You need a valid HDB flat eligibility letter. If you're applying for your BTO flat, it takes about a month to process your HFE application. So, if you haven't gotten an HFE letter, apply at homes.hdb.gov.sg. That's homes.hdb.gov.sg.
The Mutton Sandwich Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Mutton Sandwich Podcast, an excuse that we created for us to chit-chat with our famous radio friends.
That's right, friends we don't get to meet as often nowadays, especially during the pandemic. But this is the great excuse to rewind, catch up, and break things in the studio.
and drop things. I'm not supposed to have coffee in the studio.
And that's luckily classic Mike Kasem.
Because... Okay, let's throw the intro out and welcome our guest, Mike Kasem from
That's all, folks.
905. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here in the Mutton Sandwich. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah. Like we said, it's been a tough year where we don't get to see our friends from other stations as often as we normally would.
Right.
And this is a great excuse to catch up. So you in this past year have been really busy. First of all, doing the same show, same timing show that we do on the mornings.
So you know what it's about.
Exactly, right? Waking up at 4 a.m. every day and all that. And
actually, we're not supposed to like you.
Officially, we're competitors, right?
We're competing morning shows, so we've poisoned your coffee. No,
is that what it is? Feeling off.
But of course, the other reason, and Vernon said that you've had a busy year, is because actually the two of you are so alike.
Yeah, we're competing even in that field.
In daddy competition.
Yeah, that's right. I had one, then he had one, then I had another, and I'm waiting for him. a new dad. Haven't had the opportunity to congratulate you officially. So.
Yeah, you too. Congratulations as well.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. And
and congratulations to you for not having any.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
I congratulate him every day.
I'm so smart. How's fatherhood?
Yeah.
I liken it to, it's like a job that you absolutely love, but they're way overworking you. Just do it. You just love the job so much, but you're exhausted, but you love the job so much, so it's okay.
That's true. Yeah. That's well put, man. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't look at it that way, but yeah, okay.
You've got three. Yeah, so Mike has a way to catch up with you.
Well, he'll get there.
Have you
I just can't imagine what you've been through, because you did it all.
Yeah.
And then doing it again.
And then doing it again. It's called stupidity.
Have you and Suan discussed how many you want in
We're thinking two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're going to put yourself through this again. At least one more.
I got to be honest. I'm really, really... I'm just dreading it, going through it all again, because she just reminded me about the first month and waking up every 2 hours.
2 hours,
And so I'm like, yeah, right. But I do think it's more for Casey, my son, to have a sibling.
Right.
And I think other than that, I'd probably just be like, let's just stick with one. But we're both on the same page. We want Casey to have a sibling.
Okay, I mean, it's rewarding at some point.
When they're 25.
Yeah, I haven't seen that point yet, but at some point, they say it's rewarding. Yeah.
When people talk to you about it, oh man, it's a really, your life will change, it's full-time thing. And, mom's talking about, oh gosh, I'm going to be late probably because I have to feed this. I never really got it.
Until you actually have a kid.
Just how full on it is. Yeah. I mean, all I will say to people, that's why now I tell people, if they're on the fence about it, it's no problem. Don't have a kid. You don't have to have a child.
Right.
You know, unless you are 100% committed to it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You really want a child, then have it, or else, wait.
Because your life completely changes.
Totally.
Do you still get to play golf?
Like 3 times a month, because Media Corp gets in the way of that. One Saturday a month, I have to do shift on radio.
Otherwise,
I'd be able to do four.
And then when you go to play golf, what do you tell your wife?
She's okay with it because she understands, because she's an ex-professional golfer.
Exactly.
She gets it. She gets the addiction. But I used to play Okay, before I met Sue Ann, I played, this is going to sound bad, but like 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow. Sure, sure. Wow.
Then after I met Sue Ann, it was like 2-3 times a week.
Okay.
Now it's 3 times a month.
3 times a month. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it gets worse. Oh, we're talking about golf here, right? Okay. Yeah, okay.
That too. Yeah. All right.
we got to ask about, you know, your son's name.
Yeah.
And that obviously leads into a much larger conversation.
Right.
Now, you name your son after your late dad.
Yeah, correct. Right? Correct.
And tell us the thinking.
Okay, quick story behind that.
Yeah.
So it was Sue Ann's idea.
Okay.
She never got to meet my dad. Yeah. And she was, you know, originally like, you know, maybe we should just name him after your dad to you know, kind of pay respect. Mm, and, you know, she never got to meet him, so she thought it'd be cool. And then we kind of started thinking, yeah, but there's so many cool names out there.
Sure.
You know, and so many stupid names that we could name him, you know, like North. Or, you know, Vision Quest Starman, whatever.
Yeah, thank God you didn't.
And so we went on to a website generator for names, and we went, oh, look at all these cool names. Oh, let's just use the random generator.
Okay. Mm.
I am not a superstitious, I'm not a mystical person. I swear on my life, the first name that came up out of 10,000 names in this random generator was Casey.
You got
so we just stopped there and we said, okay,
it's kismet. Yeah. It was meant to be, right?
And I don't even believe in all this stuff.
But
that happened. How does that happen? I mean, that is, the chances of that are 1 in a million.
Absolutely. That's incredible. So little Casey has been keeping you and the wifey busy and all that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the larger significance of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And for people, and some people still don't, for people who don't know your dad.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. A lot of people don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about his legacy and what he and, you know, what he means to this industry, and of course what he meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really didn't know what. Well, first of all, my dad did a countdown. It was the American Top 40, which became just massive worldwide.
Yeah.
It was here on Rediffusion, started on Rediffusion here in Singapore. So people above a certain age would remember. Anybody under 35, 40 might not have a clue, but that's okay. So you know, he started off doing radio during the Korean War. He was actually headed towards the front lines, and then they called him back for radio. So he was doing radio. He then he got back into it back in the States. Wanted to be an actor. Didn't quite work out. Realized his talent lie in radio.
Yeah,
and just you know, went through radio station after radio station, hosting TV shows here and there, kind of like what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just fell into this in 1971 into the American Top 40.
Right,
and it just became a massive, massive thing, and so many radio DJs looked up to him, and I didn't really understand that until I started hanging out with him as I got older, and people would tell me, "Oh, you have no idea. Your dad was the reason I got into this. Your dad was the reason I did." That and people here in Singapore too, radio legends here would tell me that, and it's such a cool, wonderful thing, a special thing. And so he means a lot to radio, and more than I ever will. But you know, we have our own paths, right?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
And just for people who don't get how big your dad was in a modern day context, Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
Ryan
Dick Clark, Casey Kasem.
What Ryan Seacrest is to America today is it's what your dad was, maybe even bigger back in his day.
Yeah, I mean, Seacrest is quite big because he has the other things going on. But yes, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And another claim to fame your dad obviously has is Scooby Doo.
Yeah, people don't know. You know, it's so funny when we used to my dad would pick us up, me and my friends, to go to take us to Disneyland or Magic Mountain.
Right.
We'd get in the car and we'd be like, Dad, do it. And, do Shaggy. And it's like, Scoob, we're taking the kids over to Magic Mountain Disneyland. Oh. And then my friend's like, no way, that's your dad.
Your dad, Shaggy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So cool.
He was the voice behind Shaggy's character.
Yeah,
a lot of cartoons, yeah.
He was... I can't remember which one on the. He was one of the Transformers.
Right.
He was one of Transformers. He did Josie and the Pussycats. He did all sorts of. And he was the guy who said, "We now return to the Smurfs."
There you go. So
amazing.
That's
amazing.
The kind of legacy now your dad has left behind. But a nice tribute to a man that inspired pretty much everybody in radio.
Thank you.
But your path here in Singapore, now it didn't start with radio. You were here years before with MTV.
Right, 1995. Just, you know, a spring chicken, 21 years old, get plucked out of the United States, which I was so insular, I didn't know anything but the United States at that point.
Sure.
And next thing you know, a month later, I'm living in Singapore, and wow. I'm just like, what just happened? Like, and it was the best experience of my life because it opened my eyes. It opened my palate. I didn't even eat fish before I came here. Yeah. And then, you know, just opened my eyes to other cultures. Aww. And it really broadened, you know, my knowledge of everything in the world. Mm. And it was the best thing I ever did. But I always tell Vernetta, you know, my on-air partner, that the radio is the best job I've ever had as far as going to a job and doing a job.
Right.
How can you beat this? What we do, right?
Yeah.
Like we just try to crack a laugh for 4 hours.
Yeah.
We can wear sweatpants, you know, jeans, whatever we want.
Right.
We don't have to be all, you know, dressed up. I mean, maybe nowadays it's slightly different, but I still don't care. Yeah. Well, so it's just, it, you know, it's an interesting thing because I always looked at radio DJs, like guys like yourselves and said, there's no way I can do that. You know, that looks like a really difficult job. Because with MTV, I just felt like I was just goofing off and just saying really, you know, I'd read a prompter. And then if I wanted to ad-lib, I could ad-lib off of the prompter.
Yeah. Sure.
It was, everything was on prompter.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, here, I'm like, how do radio DJs do it? How do you know what to say, you know? And boy, I wish I got into it back then and I transitioned back then right into MediaCorp because that would have been a smooth transition, a natural place to go. Yeah. And I never realized just how much fun it is and that I actually can do it.
Right.
So. No, but I was going to ask you, right, like because of who your dad is and what he did, it was when, before you were 21, before you came to Singapore, you know, when you were a teenager, you didn't think you were going to do radio?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No. I say not at all. My memory is horrible. I went to radio school.
Okay.
Forgot about that when I was like 17 or 18.
Okay. Right.
I went to the Academy of Radio Broadcasting in California, Long Beach, California. Little school. And, you know, we had the reel to reel we were editing on with blades and all that.
You guys probably remember that.
Yeah.
Chalk.
Marking your edits.
Chinagraph,
And so we did that. And then I just was like, I'm not that good at this, you know? So I just started doing some college and then started auditioning for TV shows. And, you know, I actually did a show for a company called Westwood One, which is where my dad so did his, you know, show out of. So a little nepotism there. He got me a job as a as an intern there. So I was filing papers, doing all that. Yeah. And then somebody there said, hey, you know, would you like to try voicing this thing? So I did this. I voiced this thing. It was called Inside Track. It was an audio magazine.
Okay.
So it was on cassette, sold in Tower Records, you know, places like this.
That's cool.
And you know, right when that started to maybe have a path, I got offered the job for MTV in Singapore.
Oh wow!
And then I was like, Dad, what do I do? You know, like this could be huge here in the States. He's like, son, there's you just won't be able to get experience like MTV.
Right.
If you do MTV, it's just 4 years of instant experience. Well, the 2 year contract originally, instant experience.
Mm.
And so it was invaluable. I'm so happy I did it.
Wow. Yeah. And we're happy you did it as well. Cause you know, we got to know Mike Kaysen back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys looked like you were having so much fun on MTV and it was pretty much a part of, you want to say history here in Singapore because we've never had that kind of video TV experience since then.
Right.
Everything has evolved into something else.
Changed.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
You watch MTV now, it's they're no more, well, they are VJs, I guess, but it's not about that anymore. It's about reality TV.
One of the previous guests, we joke with them how us radio DJs have outlived.
Yeah,
MTV VJs. Yeah,
you know, you killed the radio. Exactly. Right. I jumped on your channel. I'm like, you know what?
I'm jumping ship.
It's so true because you know they came out. Video killed the radio star.
Yeah,
and who would have thunk it that even with all the Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you can get your music, you can curate your own playlist. Everything.
Yeah,
podcasts. People still listen to radio. It's amazing.
It really is an evergreen medium that's outlived everything else.
Yeah. I asked a friend of mine, you know, I said, why do you, you know, because he said he still likes radio. Mm. And I said, why do you listen to radio? Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, I like not knowing what song is coming next.
Yes. Yeah. The unpredictability,
right?
You know, because the research has shown, and this is kind of our trade secrets here, but research has shown that people actually get bored with their own playlists,
right?
Because they're hearing the same song over and over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how do you find what else to add to your playlist? You listen to radio,
And you're not going to find a Muttons. You're not going to find Mike and Vernetta.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
And speaking, you know your language. You're here. You're you know, living in Singapore.
Yeah.
Very relatable. So
there you go. Talk about your radio journey. I can't remember which year you started doing radio full time.
It's been a while now, right?
Yeah. In Singapore, essentially, let's call it January 2012.
Sure.
Okay. There you go.
Gosh, so time flies,
almost 10 years. Almost 10 years.
Wow. I realized that, you know, because I hosted the MediaCorp,
Long Service Award.
Long Service Award.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to get yours soon.
A Long Service Award. What?
Yes.
Gosh, time flies.
Comes with like $300, if I'm not wrong.
Does it really?
Wait,
they pay you more than your salary?
No, believe it or not, it used to be like Cold Storage vouchers.
Okay. I didn't even think it was anything. Okay.
Right. Many years ago, it used to be like supermarket vouchers.
Before that, it used to be very good.
Was it?
Yeah. It used to be in the thousands.
Oh, yeah. Long
time ago.
And then budgets got cut. And it was vouchers.
So the vouchers are probably worth more than the $300.
So looking forward to next year for that. And you started your full-time radio career in Singapore, not at Gold 905 where you are right now.
I was actually with you, well,
on
before you guys were
before
on.
We
before
joined.
We were on class.
That's right. I was with Gene.
Yeah, yes, there you go.
Talk about working with Gene Danger for a moment.
So that was the most incredible experience.
You can say bad things as well.
Yeah, that's right. She's not here.
And she doesn't listen to podcasts. We're good. Okay. All right. Juicy details coming. It was fantastic because she was like a mentor to me because I really didn't know much about radio.
Yeah.
And so she said, I remember when we were in a meeting about doing the show together, she just goes, she was like, you know, kind of depressed because she's been through so many partners. Mm. And I could see it on her face. She's like, oh, here, I have to work with somebody else.
Very guarded. Yeah.
And I understand that. And I'm just like trying to be the, you know, nice as I can and don't worry about it. We're just going to have fun. And she goes, okay, but can you do panel? And I'm like, sure. I have no idea how to do panel, you know, like, no clue. And so it was so funny because I was messing up left and right. And this was on the evening drive of class 95.
Right.
And I said, Gene, you know, after like a couple of weeks, I'm like, Gene, I'm so sorry. You know, like, you know, I'm messing up on the panel. She goes, Mike, you know what? She said, normally it'd be a problem, but you don't care. That's what makes it so great. She's like, it's fine because when you mess up, you just laugh. You don't care.
Yeah.
She's like, so it actually works. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Wow. And so she just kind of taught me the ropes and, taught me how to be a DJ. And she's like, she's so Ryan Seacrest to me. Like, she's just and she's got it. And she's so spot on.
Very polished,
perfect person to start my career with. And so like for us, it was like therapy every day we'd go because we became so close as friends that it was like we just tell each other anything and just have so much fun on air and then just therapy sessions off air.
That's great.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's wonderful.
That's a great way to start your career in Singapore radio.
Exactly. And, right. So hard to leave that show when they asked me to leave and go with Joe in the morning on Gold 905. It was so difficult to make that decision. But where I come from, And I'm sure you guys, you know, understand this, you know, as much as we all hate to wake up in the morning shows are the coup de grace.
Absolutely. It shows that you've made it. It shows that you are the one they trust the most for the biggest show of the station.
That's exactly right. So I was honored, even though I was moving stations, I was honored to like, wow, you think that I can do a morning show?
Mm-hmm.
So, because for those of you who don't know, morning shows, you know, it's anchoring the state. It's anchoring the whole station.
Oh,
everything's riding on you, you know, the ratings are very important.
Yeah.
And it's the busiest show.
Yeah. So it's the busiest
show. And if you make a mistake, it's amplified 10 times
than
any other show. So
that's it. That's not belittling any other shift because everybody is important.
Mm-hmm.
The morning show is just kind of the anchor though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, compare and contrast again, feel free to say it bad things. Compare and contrast working with Gene Decker and working with Vanetta Lopez, because Vanetta Lopez is as well so experienced.
Yes.
In radio, in TV. She's also someone who can just on the fly, she's going to make you laugh.
Yes.
You know? So what was it like working with Vanetta, which of course has been your longest term partner?
Seven years almost now.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, they're two totally different styles.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So it was great. It's perfect to work with both of them, because with Gene, she taught me how to be a little more polished and not so loose, which I needed because I was quite, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
And now I was able to take some of that all over the place, tightening things up, and bring it over to working with Vern, who's completely off the deep end.
Really all over
and
the place.
So
yeah.
I thought I was all over the place, and I realized, oh, so now I need to be kind of the Gene straight person here,
wow.
a little bit of that, in order to rein Vern in, because she can. It's interesting, if she's solo, she's just she. When she goes off tangent, she has to pull herself back in.
Yes, mm. yes.
But when she has me, she goes off tangent and then goes, okay, Michael, pull me back
you
in.
You are the one to do it.
So I need to be on my toes.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a totally, totally different experience. You know, it's Ryan Seacrest with Gene. You know, it's like the Ryan Seacrest style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I don't know, give me somebody out there. It's like Gurmit, or like, you know, with Vernetta, it's somebody just way out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. No, but it's amazing that you guys have this partnership where you know each other's quote-unquote strengths and weaknesses, and you balance each other out.
Well, you guys know how it is. I mean, that's why it's, you know, once you figure it out, you don't want to change it, because
that's true,
it's so difficult to create...
a partnership.
The partnership that works. And I'll be honest, like with Gene, it worked right away.
Mm-hmm.
With Vernetta, it took 6 months.
Sure.
Yep. It literally did, because it just wasn't clicking. We're looking at each other like, oh man, oh gosh. It was torturous, some of the segments.
Mm.
And then, but once it got good, it got really good.
Right. You know? And that's how radio works, you know, when you stumble into something and you find like a smooth train, you just want to ride that train forever. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
You find the right partner. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm still looking.
I will pretend I didn't hear that. Mike, usually at the end of every podcast, we like to ask our guests to ask us a question, since we've spent half an hour asking you questions. So, is there anything you've always wanted to ask us? It can be to just one of us, both of us, doesn't matter.
Mm.
But you only have one question.
One question.
And it can be about anything.
It can be about any. It doesn't have to be radio related.
Mm.
What would you like to ask Muttons in the Morning?
It's a radio question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How do you guys keep your talk set so tight?
for people who don't know the lingo,
keeping
it tight is basically keeping it shorter.
You guys get what you need to get in.
Yeah.
Very succinctly.
Say what you need to say and you know when to get out. You know when to end the talk set.
The only time Vern and I can do that, not Vernon, but Vern.
Yeah. Vernetta, yes.
And I, is when we record something and then we can edit it.
Okay, so the trick is, and you know, this would be helpful to anyone listening who's aspiring to be a DJ or already is a DJ and just has that same problem. Mm-hmm. Think of the end first. So once you know where you're ending up, you kind of get there quicker.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the path there, and it's a straighter path. If you're going to start something like, let's say, let's talk about Bakwa today, mm-hmm. but not know what your ending is, then you're going to go...
So you guys keep each other on path.
So it's basically like radio GPSing. You always key in the destination first. And then once you know your destination, you always find a way there.
So you leave room to keep it spontaneous, but at the same time, like this is where we're going with this.
You know how you're going to end it.
And believe it or not,
I wish we could do that.
This is so classic and old school, but we hand signal each other like crazy. Like if you have a camera on us while we're doing our talk set, you know, it's always like him pointing at me or me pointing at him, and it's like, okay. This is the last 100 meters. We'll point to each other, and then boom, and he'll point to me. Boom, hit next. Go. Yeah. So even now we're still pointing like.
But that's amazing, because I listen to you guys from time to time when I'm on leave,
right?
And it's amazing that you can make it sound so relaxed, yet
you're off at, you know, off camera going, pow, pow, pow. Yeah, right, okay, right, here, right. here, 30 right. seconds, 30 seconds. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
No, well, literally, that's exactly what we do. And you've already got one part down pat. You guys have fun on your show,
yeah.
which
yeah.
has always been our, yeah. the core to what we do. We always tell ourselves, hey, let's have fun first. And when people listen in, they'll have fun with us.
Right, right.
So
right.
so that's done. So now all you got to do is just know the ending so yeah. that you can have fun, blah, 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 but you know where you're going and you know exactly when one person says that one thing. Yeah. That's it. That's the end of the talk set.
Don't
go into a song. Go, go into the commercial.
It happens so, especially when you have more people on the show. You get the add-ons, right? It's I want to take your joke, which was perfect, and I can do better.
Some sauce to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's never just like, okay, I did it. It's done.
Let's move on. I'll be honest. I'm the one who tends to meander, you know, and then he's like frantically like, okay, let's get on.
And then you're just over there going,
throwing things. Oh, I shut down and I keep quiet. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, okay, take it the way you want to go. You do it.
If there if there was a hole in the middle of the desk, he would be kicking me all the time. thankfully, and for those who don't know, under our desks is actually our computers.
Yeah,
so he can't kick me.
I can't. Yeah.
Yes,
I
right.
wish I could.
It, that reminds me with Jean.
Oh
man!
What, she used to kick you?
No. So she bought a Nerf gun.
Oh
no! Wow.
And so when she was like, "Don't go there" or whatever it is, she would just shoot me with the Nerf gun.
Oh, beautiful!
Hey, it works, right?
It works, right? I'm like, okay, I get it. So everyone's like, you hear a talk set, then ding.
That's amazing. Hey, do you know why I can buy a real gun?
I don't know if you can hear.
God.
In the States, you guys could shoot each other if you're doing
radio. Exactly right. Yeah,
I think they encourage it.
Last one day, he'd be dead.
The president encourages that kind of stuff.
Former president.
Oh, man. All right, we wish we could continue this.
Yeah, totally, guys. It's been awesome.
But we know you got to go. We wish we could record your thoughts on what's happening with the president itself. But we'll save that for another podcast. Mike Kasem, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, brother.
The Mutton Sandwich, and we'll see you soon. Get some sleep.
Yep, will do.
Need an eco-smart aircon that gives you peace of mind? Get a Daikin aircon and you'll have smarter reasons to smile. Buy a Daikin iSmile Ecosystem 3 and above before 30th June 2024 and get 1+2 years extended aircon warranty. Experience the convenience of smart and voice control. Just say the magic words to control your aircon. Experience it yourself at Daikin.
Perfecting the air. Daikin.